Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Going Off Track has the best fans in the world. Guys, seriously, we only had the Patreon account going for 2 weeks, and we've already reached our first major goal, which was to cover all of our server costs. Thanks so much to all of you that joined early. If you haven't joined Patreon, if you are interested, we're going to have bonus episodes up there that will just be for patrons. There's going to be bloopers, outtakes. We've got stickers, buttons, t-shirts coming. There's some other incentives, including direct correspondence with the staff at a certain level. Just take a look. There's several different tiers, so you can start at whatever level you're comfortable with. It's all really appreciated. Thanks so much. It's patreon.com/goingofftrack. You can also get there via our website, goingofftrack.com.
Hello and welcome to Going Off Track.
Oh, this is Going Off Track. I'm in the wrong place. Oh. Sorry.
It's cool. See you later. just kidding.
Can I hang out?
Yeah, why not? We're hanging out at Brad's place. It's super mellow, drinking coffee.
On the real Lower East Side.
The real Lower East Side. I got some spicy pickles.
Man. They stopped at the pickle guys on the corner of Essex. Yeah. The pickles are so good there. Yeah. Everything they have there is really good.
Yeah. I went with the full sours. Usually I get the half.
Right.
But yeah, I had to go crazy.
I mean, if you eat anywhere in Lower Manhattan and they give you a pickle, it's usually from those guys too.
Really?
You can tell.
Yeah.
Well, I can. They have all kind,
I didn't realize they had so much other stuff that was pickled.
Pickled like
beets,
carrots.
Or carrots, whatever, like everything.
The classic is really the way to go, but there's some things I like pickled.
What's the classic?
Peppers are good. Just a pickle.
Yeah.
Sour pickle.
Yeah.
But pickled peppers are really good, man. They're good to put on like sandwiches and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I just like the barrels. I like the whole thing.
Yeah. It's cool because, like, there's a few of those places, you know, well, like Kosar's, Bialy's, that, you know, you see the gentrification and you just know that their time is limited. I think that they're like kind of, they figured out how to kind of cash in on the tourism of like,
because I think people want like an authentic experience. Because it's like, you go to Williamsburg, I'm sure there's some place that sells like $19 jars of pickles in Williamsburg. Like, you know, and I'm sure that they sell those, but that's not like, that doesn't seem sustainable.
No, but they're small enough. They can stay around. They have to, because I hate seeing these places. There's, you know, we had a matzah factory on Rivington, Streitz's, that was there for years. It was right across the street from my old apartment, and that's gone.
Really?
Yeah. I just like, I see that and I'm like, this is like, this should be like a tourist attraction, you know, like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is very New York to be talking about.
I told someone the other day, I was like lamenting all this stuff is closed, like Stage Restaurant and like all this stuff. And I was like, if the Russian Turkish Bathhouse closes, I'm just moving.
Yeah.
Like, and I think they'll be fine because it's like, but yeah, there's like a handful of things where I'm just like, dude, like it's crazy just how much stuff is just gone.
Well, and, like, from an economic perspective, it would seem like it would make sense for the city to try to keep some of these kind of places around just for tourist value.
Right.
You know, like the Russian Bathhouse, I would have thought Streitz's, I would have thought it would be awesome to be able to point to a real matzah factory that's still going on the Lower East Side.
Yeah. No, I mean, what's most important, I guess, is bailing out these bankers who just ripped everyone off and then get these six-figure bonuses.
That is important.
So
You're right.
That's who we should be looking at. That's who our government's looking out for. So that's good to know.
Whoa.
I just watched that. There's this new documentary on Netflix about Herbalife. It's like a kind of like a pyramid scheme thing, and they kind of go in.
Oh.
It's kind of interesting. The documentary is actually like a little, like, had some issues with it. It's a little anticlimactic, but it's kind of interesting. But it's just, yeah, it's just basically like a pyramid scheme where they're like just preying on like people who are like, are poor basically, and having them open these health clubs and sell this overpriced. Like, it's just like, there's just so many people out there just like preying on just people's vulnerabilities. And then
it gets difficult sometimes to not want to do that, you know? Like,
yeah.
I'm wondering, like, I've really been thinking about printing up some Make America Great t-shirts, you know, on like the cheapest, crappiest cotton made in China that I can, and then sell them for overpriced.
Brad is wearing a Hillary for prison shirt right now. in a size small, and it looks great on him.
Yeah, that's me.
If you know Brad, you know. Anyways, enough joking around. We have a podcast today, a very, very nice guest.
Before we name the guest, I think I should just say that we talk a lot about vomit and New Jersey.
Okay.
And SUNY Purchase.
That's fair.
I just find that those three things together, very interesting.
Those are the three subjects where we're like, how can we get tons of ratings and hits on iTunes? SUNY Purchase. Let's get that in the keywords.
And vomit.
Yes. So,
don't worry. It won't make you sick if you're having aversion to vomit talk.
Yeah. No, I actually don't think we talk about it for that long.
No,
I think
don't.
We more, it's not like graphic talk about it. I think it's more some people.
It's just
whatever.
That I made a note of it.
Yeah. 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 So, it's kind of a weird thing for Brad to bring up, but let's move on. Our guest is Muriel Loveland. She is in the band. She has a band called Best X. They were, I kept saying they used to be called Candy Hearts, and I kept saying Best X, and then it would say FKA Candy Hearts, and I was like, what does FKA mean? And they figured out formerly known as.
Right.
So it took me a long time to figure that out.
FKA and AKA. You need to know those two things.
So, and Best X recently put out a record. It is called Ice Cream Antisocial.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Steven's band in college, the Ice Cream Socialist. But Ice Cream Antisocial is out now. It is on Spotify. And Muriel and me became friends online. And this was the first time we actually had hung out in person, but we talked a lot and talked about a bunch of drama in her life surrounding her last band. We talked about her new record. We talked about Jersey a lot. Saves the Day. Muriel's a super, super interesting person. And I'm glad that we could have her on.
Yeah. And then we had the whole gang there for it too, man.
Yeah, we had whole crew. We did this after our Living Color episode.
Yeah. At Pulse Music. Put a little logo in there.
Check out Pulse.
Pulse Music.
West 29th
Home
Street.
Of Going Off Track podcast.
Yes. Shout out to Pulse Music. Thank you so much for letting us use your beautiful studio. And now let's listen to this excellent audio quality podcast with Meryl Loveland, a.k.a. Candy Hearts, AKA Best X, FKA Candy Hearts. That's it?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Okay, bye.
That was awesome.
It's going on
track! I went to Catholic school for a year of my short life.
Oh, really?
I was five. And then my mom got in a fight.
With a nun?
With a nun. And we got pulled out.
I have a similar story with Hebrew school. I went to Hebrew school for a year, and we had to make a paper mache Moses. And my mom was so pissed that she had to buy, like, actual, like, baby clothes for a Moses. She was like, she's like, you hate this, right? I'm like, yeah, it's the fucking worst. She's like, all right, you don't have to go anymore. It was because she didn't want to buy fucking baby clothes for Paper Mache Moses. Yeah. So that's it. That was faith went away from me. Right
yeah,
there.
I get it. That was I get it.
Before the commandments were even uttered.
Yeah, never even heard them. Never heard them.
So, Mariel, have you done a lot of podcasts? What's your podcast track record like? Is this your first podcast?
Yeah. Well, one I did. Well, wait, no, that's a radio show, I guess. So I've not done. Oh no, I did one. I did. Who's that guy? I think his name is Shane. He does the lead singer one.
Yeah,
oh,
Silverstein.
I did that.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a good dude.
Shane is
a good
dude. Really nice.
Podcast number two for you.
Podcast two.
I think so, yeah.
Great. It's gonna
we are far less polite because he's so Canadian.
He is very
He was really polite.
He's yeah. so nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too nice. I don't trust him.
So you just got back from tour.
I did.
How did it go?
Is it on?
It's on. This is
on. We're on.
What's your
okay.
Wait, is it on?
Is it on?
Steven, hit play and record at the same time.
Was this the first Best X tour? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was the first Best X tour, and it was all right.
Do you feel like... So obviously you toured a lot as Candy Hearts, and then you're doing this new band. I mean, do you feel like people know... Like, is it hard to get those people who are... into the original band to come out, or did a lot of that? Like, how does that work, I guess?
I think there was a little bit of my mistake of not releasing my album before the tour. I released it while I was on the tour. So after it was out, our shows were good. Before it was out, our shows were not good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was like there was like a turning point where literally when it came out or like the couple days before, our shows were fine. And then before that, it was like, kind of empty from what I'm used to. Not that I'm complaining.
You think it was from the maybe PR around the album?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, maybe like...
It's not like people were waiting to hear the record.
I know.
Decision,
I
right?
don't know. Maybe they were because they saw like Best X and they're like, well, I'm going to wait to hear the record because...
Right, maybe.
Oh, yeah,
what if she only plays new songs and not old ones?
Right.
Which I kept writing online was not going to be the case because I was so super nervous that people would think that. And, you know, Twitter hides stuff, so I guess no one saw it. Do people even use Twitter anymore?
We were just talking about this.
Just talking about it.
There's this guy that seems to have revived it.
We think Donald Trump is like brought Twitter back from the brink.
He's totally
I'm thankful for that because that's the social network I do the best on. So without Twitter, I'd have no business.
So oh my gosh, you owe something to Donald Trump.
I know, it's gross.
Oh God, it is gross. I'm so sorry.
Listen,
I'm sorry for the realization.
Obama still has more followers.
That's true.
Than Trump. So you're good.
And that's the whole thing.
That's
why we are.
Doesn't happen on you.
Here's the thing. I refuse to follow him, but I do read what he writes.
I block him.
I did.
Have you tried the filter where you can pick a word? I thought about like filtering out just the word Trump and then seeing how my feed
minimizes.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Wait, you can really? You can take Trump out?
You can take any word out.
Interesting.
I was thinking about the word the as well.
That's fine. Yeah.
Just to see what would happen.
Now, does it just erase the word or does it take away the entire tweet?
It just... good question.
Yeah.
Because it'd be pretty funny if they're like, no, we're only going to erase that one word.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot of funny tweets.
I'd take LOLs out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. You could really like comb through a lot of the stuff you don't need to see.
It's a lot of emojis.
Mariel, you know, one thing Benny does, I know a lot about Benny. One thing
we
Benny does
on
Twitter is he'll engage with trolls sometimes. Or not trolls, but he'll argue with people that don't share his opinion. Not argue, debate.
Debate.
You know what I'm trying to say. I'm assuming you get some of that too. Everyone does. I mean,
so bad.
Do you ignore it or you can't help it?
I can't. I was having this conversation with, you know, when we were recording our album, like the one before the Best X one. I was having a conversation with someone in the studio because like someone posted a nasty comment on their thing and they like fired back. And I'm like, why would you do that? He's like, every once in a while you take all of that negative stuff in and like someone you're just like, I'm going to change that person's mind and let them know that, can I curse?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
No.
Let them know that they're like an asshole and it just never works. And like, I'm from that school of thought where I literally went off on a kid kind of for writing a negative review about my record on a blog that I had never heard of. So I just gave him traffic to my negative review because I'm like, no, no, no. He just said, stick to what you know, assuming that I don't know what I'm writing. I flipped out because like, it wasn't like that he said it was bad. It's that he was like, stick to what you know. And it was just like, I cannot bite my tongue. I'm so bad.
Yeah.
A good way to respond to that is, that's true. How's your band?
Oh, I did. I gave him a review for his band.
He did have a band. Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
what is his band called?
I'm so mean.
What's his band called?
What's the band
I don't remember. I just looked up.
Yeah, don't give him any traction.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, but that could have been fun.
No,
for
they're
a few
fine. They're, it's a kid. It's like a kid who's was given a thing to review and didn't like it, but he was so proud on his Twitter for not liking it. The tag to like the link was like, check out my review of the best X record. I didn't like it, like at all. And now I'm like, why would you spread that negativity? Just post your review. If it's not good, it's not good. But like, oh, I didn't like it all. I just lost it.
Clickbait.
I had a debate, not a debate, but before I was like really good friends with Chris Conley, I wrote a really bad review of the Saves the Day record in Reverie.
What?
Yeah. Wow. I still have some issues with the production on that record, by the way.
I think you're wrong.
Yeah. Well, I don't. Yeah, I think his voice sounds weird on it. But I think the songs are good. Like, I like the songs live. But I didn't like them then, and I wrote this.
Did Chris step to you? Well, later in life?
You know, we sort of knew each other. I had like a weird relationship with them because I saw them on their first tour and Can't Slow Down. And do you remember this era where everyone just was like, "This band's ripping off Lifetime"?
Of course, yeah.
No,
yeah. So like,
oh, yeah.
And I lived in New Jersey.
Oh, Saves the Day was
I too young?
Yes.
Maybe.
You were too
young for Lifetime.
You were definitely too young for Lifetime. You, I mean, like, Can't Slow Down came out. That was That's a pretty. When was that?
90. Yeah.
Yeah.
70. Yeah.
So, yeah, you were probably like 10 or something.
Yeah.
So,
playing Pokemon or something.
Exactly. So, yeah. So, my friend's band, my bandmate opened for them, was in a VFW Hall basement or something like that. And it was called Kickers. It was like a bar.
Okay.
And as an homage to Saves the Day, they covered Lifetime and dedicated it to them. And Chris was. Those guys were so bummed.
Yeah.
Like, they were just like, ugh, like, what are you guys doing? And my friend's like, it's cool, right? And I was like, it's not cool.
Yeah, haunted them everywhere
really
for years.
I think they really meant it. Like, we were, like, young. Like, we were in high school, I think. No, maybe we were in college. But they really weren't making fun of them. I think they thought that they would think it was cool.
And I think I would cry if someone did that to me.
But for real, the Saves the Day demo sounded just like Lifetime.
Yeah,
just like Lifetime. And true to form, when Lifetime reformed at that Bamboozle years ago, I was there and we were working, so we got to go up on stage. We were so psyched to see Lifetime. And I stood next to Chris Conley, who was losing his goddamn mind.
Yeah, no, they were all
so
fans.
That was like you know,
sure.
No,
they played the last show.
It was tied together. And actually, the last show was when like the turn kind of started happening, mm-hmm. because Lifetime had Saves the Day at the last show
and Endeavor, I believe,
and they played a badass set and Endeavor.
I have a VHS copy of it with like, I bought it, a bootleg VHS tape, and it's like the worst angle ever. It's like just like the crowd, and like you can't even see the stage.
There's not a lot of places. Like,
it's literally like you can't even
typical
see.
Crowd like bootleg video.
I mean, if so you don't many. Know that, I mean, it was the Melody Bar, which was you know. Like on French Street, New Brunswick, the actual venue is on the second floor. If you were like more than 6 foot, I'd say, you know, you had to crouch around a lot of places. Like there was a bar, like it was a very awkward place to see a crowded show. Like you were fucking stuck in there. One time at the Melody Bar, I was hanging out with someone in the downstairs while the Bouncing Souls were playing and actually saw the fucking ground of the place, like, buckling down with people jumping. I'm like, geez, this fucking place is going to fall down.
You can see that Webster Hall, too.
Yeah.
It's just like, ugh.
Yes. Now, where in Jersey are you from?
But I want to finish this Chris Conley thing, because otherwise it's not going to make any sense.
Oh, sorry.
So I said the review was like a step backwards for him. And then I remember we talked about it later, and he was like, I don't understand how I can write something and it be a step backwards. Like, he's like, I literally, that doesn't make sense. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And then we talked it out, and now we're bros. Whatever, it was a long time ago. Where in New Jersey are you from?
Nice.
He's so positive. So
I know,
he's
the most positive guy ever.
Sorry,
he was always very, like, yeah, he's great. He's the best dude.
I'm from Ramsey, which is, like, north, I don't know. It's, like, a New York City suburb. Everyone's dad, like, commutes to the city there.
Ben, are you familiar with Ramsey?
Of course.
Yeah.
What county?
Yeah. Bergen.
Oh, okay.
It's a lot of Jersey in this room. I'm not one of them, though.
You okay?
No.
I feel a little ganged up on.
I'm from
Ohio. I moved there, but my kids are from New Jersey. So.
And you should know something about Jonah. that when he's in New Jersey,
oh God,
things get weird for him. He doesn't really know how to handle himself. He thinks like there's a whole different set of rules, and he also thinks we don't eat after 8:30 at night.
Like what?
Like if you don't, no, just in general, like gremlins. Like if you don't eat by this time, you can't have food until the morning.
Let me, Mira, let me ask you.
That's not true. No.
Let me ask you a hypothetical question. Do you ever like say something to a friend once, and then like you're like they won't let it go, and you're just like, oh man, what have I done?
No, because I'm the one who holds on to everything everyone says and brings it up like 20 years later.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, what was an example?
New Jersey.
I don't know if there's anything that I can say that wouldn't make my family mad for bringing it up again.
Yeah,
they're not listening.
Oh, they will be. I'm sure.
The dozens of fans
they're all over
listening.
My Twitter.
Oh my God. So, what's your take us through like your typical day? Like, are you writing every day, or do you? What's your schedule like?
Yeah, so I do write every day. That's how I make money. I don't make a whole lot of money from my band. A little, but not enough. And I don't know, I wake up whenever I wake up. Today it was like at 11:30, which is way too late for someone of my age. And then I usually have coffee and watch TV for like 2 hours. And then I write until kind of like I have to go to sleep because I'm poor at managing my time. I should wake up early, do it, and then like have stuff to do at night, like normal adults.
Yeah, I've been saying this for like 12 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I do. And then like, I'll just like not write if I have something else to do.
Yeah.
Is that, because you're a freelance writer as well, right? So is that like what happens
pretty
to you?
Much. I'll like have a deadline, but then I'll kind of like wait until like the deadline is looming and then freak out and like do it.
Do you feel you write better that way?
No, I feel like I write worse that way.
I need a deadline or else it just won't happen.
I do too, but I do feel like when I like spend more time like going over it like the next day and like giving it some time away, usually I feel like it turns out better. So I've been trying to be better.
Meryl, do you self-imposed deadlines, or do you find that's like setting your alarms?
No, I do that.
Earlier? You do that. Do you follow it?
Yeah, I do. I'm really good at following my own deadlines. It's just like if I don't have to wake up early, I'm not gonna.
and well, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
That's one of my
dreams.
One of my dreams in life is after having children is I look forward to sleeping in again someday.
You're not gonna be able to.
Yeah,
I know.
You'll be done.
Shut up.
Physically, it changes your
body.
Yeah,
I know.
I mean, I am like, I can be a functioning adult. Like I have had writing jobs where I had to wake up at 7 and start writing like immediately at 7.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what was that job?
Like I would do a lot of like breaking news type stuff, so you have to get it in the morning like first before all the other publications get to it.
Really? For who? Who are you doing this for?
They no longer exist.
That's okay.
Yeah, they were a startup called Pixable that like ran out of investor funding.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it was sad. We were doing really well actually though.
Do you have a background in journalism?
Yeah, I have a degree in creative writing.
Right on. From where?
SUNY Purchase.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I have a minor in songwriting. Yeah.
Matt, one of my buddies has a degree in modern dance from SUNY Purchase.
Oh, that's a really good program.
Yeah, it is a good program. That's why he left our school and went up there. The fuck.
You a fan of modern dance, Steven?
I have a degree.
You do?
Yeah. I have a degree in theater, double major in dance, but.
So you can dance?
Graduate. No, if I want to.
Wait, do you know a lot about dancing?
Yeah.
I knew the theater part.
This is shocking.
But I never knew the dancing part.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah.
Really?
Jonah, how can we open up this podcast to showcase this?
We're gonna have to do a video podcast.
No. Yeah, we need to start a video.
Nah, don't what's the phrase? It's like I never said I couldn't dance. I said I don't. I haven't done it in a long
For
time.
For some reason, I imagine.
But I can have a conversation with my kid's ballet teacher who's American Ballet Theater trained, and she'll be like, oh, you know what's up? And I go, yes, I do.
Yeah,
I know
she doesn't expect the dad to know what's up, too. That's
the
funny.
The only dad there.
Aww.
But it's fine. SUNY Purchase is a great school.
If you watch Stephen walk, he walks with his toes out.
I do walk with my toes out.
When I imagine you dancing, for some reason, it looks to me just like Christopher Walken dancing in a Fatboy Slim video.
It's pretty much exactly that.
Something like that.
It's pretty much exactly
sort of
that.
Like a half saunter dance kind of thing. Maybe wearing like an ascot.
He's a fucking gazelle.
But I'm not caring.
Or Elaine Boozler.
Elaine Boozler.
Yeah, she had that. No?
I think
from Seinfeld?
Elaine Boozler was an old comedian. Boozler. Wow.
All right. I'm on mute. Time out.
Sorry. Okay, so SUNY Purchase, so a degree in creative writing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So what would be like the thesis for a creative writing degree?
You okay, to write, so
like,
my a thesis.
Novel or novella?
And
or?
I am not even kidding you, because maybe I just perceived it this way, but I really think this is what it was, because my thesis was not good. And I consider myself very talented, but this was not good. And they made us read it out loud and in front of the entire class. And I was the only person that no one clapped for. I just kind of looked around and walked away. It was like horrific. But my thesis was, I wrote an album and I wanted to write 15 short stories, like 2 or 3 page stories that went along with the songs on the album. And then my teacher made me change it to do only like 2 really long ones. And I'm like, well, I can't write a novel. So nor do I want to write a novel literally ever. So it was really bad. And everyone just stared at me.
So you did a song and then a story and a song and a story.
I didn't play the songs, though.
Okay.
Because I had to do... That was also like part of my minor thesis as well. I tied them both in. And I don't know. They just wanted us to read. And I just read one thing as quick as I could. And I'm telling you, everyone just stared at me.
Mm. And then you were like, I should be a performer.
I was just like, I gotta go.
Mic drop.
No, yeah, be a performer. So now, when you play with a hardcore band, everyone can just stare at you again.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you have a band in college?
Yeah. I was in like a country band.
Like one?
It was like similar to a country band.
It's like
not
the opposite
quite
of
country.
Straight edge. You either are or you aren't.
In a no, country band.
You're not familiar
true.
With country all
country?
Country
is like a, yeah, it was yeah. an all country band.
Oh, Whiskey Town. Speaking exactly. of which, when are you going to call Ryan Brad?
I was really into Rilo Kiley. I mean, okay. I still am, but like really, really then.
Yeah.
So it was like that.
Nice. I once got an argument with that dude about Rocket from the Crypt.
With who?
The dude from Rilo Kiley, the not Jenny Lewis
oh, Blake.
One. Yeah. He was like, they're just a boring band. And for some reason, I decided to get angry about it and start defending Rocket from the Crypt.
Were you there when he was on the podcast? Were you there?
No.
He had a band with Jared Gorbel.
Yes. Who I love, Jared.
Yeah. But and anyway. Check out our episode with Jenny Lewis.
I know. Shut up.
I love her. I was singing. I really think that.
I was talking to our listeners, but.
Learning how to sing to her newest album, Voyager.
Yes.
That's how I think I was able to have a little bit of a better voice on my new record, because I just like practiced all of the way that she sings and tried to apply that to like my music.
Interesting.
What does she do different?
I don't know. Her voice just like she does a lot of stuff with her voice. She goes like all over. And like my melodies, I think prior to this release, were kind of just more straight from listening to a bunch of like boy singers who just sing like pop punk stuff, you know?
Oh, okay. Did you have like the range to do that already, or did you have to like develop it to sing like Jenny?
I think if I tried to do that like 10 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do it. But I think I had it at this point and didn't know that I really had it. Especially because I'd been taking voice lessons and stuff. And like, I mean, not recently, but I had prior. And I just never tried.
Yeah, I saw that you'd done Melissa Cross.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Who's that? Oh, wait. Did you see a thing on Vice about her?
Well,
yeah.
She did the screaming thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did a segment on that Vice News Tonight thing, like right at the end with a bunch of bands I never
heard
of.
She's like a legend.
She did not teach me how to scream, but that wouldn't have been useful for me.
Yeah.
It's a good skill to have.
How does that work? Like, are you just like, this is what I want to work on? And then she's like,
she watched some videos of me playing. I was like, I need to fix my voice because people are making fun of me.
What do you mean? Like, you're just wearing...
Well, I don't know. People always make fun of people online. So
dicks.
After people were being dicks, I'm like, I'm just at least going to get voice lessons. So I feel better that when people are dicks, I'm like, well, at least I know how to sing right. So I went to her and... She watched my live performances on YouTube and stuff and found out what I was doing wrong, like how I was singing a little bit wrong, and taught me how to not sing that way.
Taught you some diaphragmatic stuff?
Yeah.
There you go. Suck it.
And I minored in vocal coaching.
Boom. I breathe into my tummy.
So did you apply that a lot on the new record? would you say, like those techniques?
Well, that was before. I think that was.
Or this was still Candy Heart's era.
It was when I got the lessons, but I cannot recall like if we had recorded our last record or not.
Okay.
I don't know. It was like around that time, but we did so much stuff that like everything's kind of just a blur. Like I remember doing the vocal exercises for the first time on a tour, but it might have been 2000. I think it was 2013 before our record came out, but it might have not been. I don't know.
Were you guys on Bridge 9?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is, I've always thought of as like a super, super hardcore label.
I mean, they are.
They are.
And then there was us. And I'm like, can you put glitter on our vinyl? And they're like, we draw the line there because it won't sound good. I'm like, our fans aren't actually listening to the vinyl. I'm sure of it. And they're like, no, they are. We can't do that.
I think I was at their office once.
In Boston?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did they share it with a bunch of people, like a big warehouse?
Well, it's...
This was a while ago, actually. It's probably like eight years ago.
It's Chris who runs the label, right. His other business, which does like sports-themed t-shirts.
Yes. Yeah.
They got their start selling the Yankees Suck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
it's,
so cool.
Rusty told us that because H2O was on Bridge 9 for a bit. Or,
yeah, I think you're right.
You know, these guys used to actually like pimp them around Fenway Park and like, yeah, and really like hustle, yeah, shirts.
You can make that much money doing that?
Yeah, when you write Yankees Suck, Jeter Swallows and shit like that on them. Yeah, yeah. People love that shit.
Red Sox fans really go for that shit.
Yeah.
They used to. They're soft now. They won a World Series. Now they're soft.
Me and Steve saw an incredible shirt the other night. Before the Low Tom show, it said, do you remember? Well, I'm going to mess this up.
I can't remember. Exactly.
It was an anti-autocorrect shirt. It was like,
wow.
It was like,
you are going to mess it up.
I love it already.
It was something about autocorrect, and then the last word was spelled wrong. And I can't remember the. Do you remember?
Was it something bought at Spencer's Gifts?
It probably was. Yeah.
I think it was like, autocorrect can burn in hell, but yeah, it was heal.
Yeah, it was H-E apostrophe.
Oh, that's
and
great.
We were eating, and I was like, dude, check that out. It's awesome.
Jonah hasn't stopped talking about it. Yes. Since.
I've been into collecting, and I've been saving some in my phone, of brunch shirts. Have you noticed the
I'm a white girl. There are lots of brunch shirts
that I know about. Do you own any?
I do have one that says namaste in bed, but if you can imagine a woman even more white than I am, that's my sister, and she bought me that shirt.
Do you do yoga?
No. Okay. I don't work out. Come on.
I feel like brunch and chill.
Wait,
right?
what's a brunch shirt?
Well, the best, a lot of them say like mimosas, sundae, and like fun day, or like something like that. The best one I saw recently was quinoa get a what? that was the best I've seen recently of the brunch shirts. But Saturday and Sunday in Jersey City now, you see, and my favorite is when you see matching brunch shirts.
So I just did the matching shirt thing this weekend.
Tell me about it.
It's my sister's bridal shower.
No, wait, hold on. Let's backpedal. You're a twin.
I'm correct? A twin.
No, yes. Are you identical no. Or fraternal?
Well, now that I'm blonde, I look more like her, people say, but I don't think so. We're fraternal.
Fraternal, okay. So sisters born at the same time. Got it.
Yes. She's 1 minute older, which seems like 10 years. I'm going to be honest. And so she's getting married, and last weekend was her bachelorette party that I had to throw. And as you can see, these will not come off my arms. I have all these temporary tattoos.
The gold.
Super, like, maid of honor.
Oh, my God.
And, goodness. Yeah. And there's one that says Bride Tribe right here.
Bride Tribe.
I know. So I got everyone matching t-shirts. And we went on a bunch of wine tastings. It was really...
North
I gotta
Fork.
Be honest. It was really... Yeah. Really basic. Really basic. I was like... My sister was having the best time. And I was like, really... bringing out like the woo side of me. Everyone's just wooing at everything. Like,
that's what those things are for.
You didn't go to Atlantic City and do Thunder from Down Under or anything like that? Or
I was joking about how that's what it was going to be because she didn't know what her shower was, but no Thunder from Down Under.
That's all right. Now, because twin talk, because I have twins. My wife is a twin. It's a fraternal all around.
Steven's favorite movie.
It's
Julius.
People don't understand. He said, I'll be back in violent movies, but this one was a comedy, and he said it again. It's
irony.
That's
pretty good.
He picks up a car. And Danny DeVito, I mean, come on. By the way, my wife calls her sister genetic garbage.
Whoa.
From twins.
Oh.
Just to fuck with her.
That's rough.
You know, which is, now my children are 20 seconds apart, but legally they have to put like a minute.
Oh,
on
do
the,
they?
Yeah, which is kind of funny.
I wonder if I'm actually a minute or if it's just legally a minute.
That's why I bring it up.
I have no idea.
You don't have to ask. You don't remember?
20 seconds is pretty fast.
I don't. Man. Shocking. I don't remember.
All right. Fair enough. Must have not been a cesarean.
No, it was. We'll,
oh, yeah. Twins. Yeah, of course you were.
Yeah.
Okay. So now do you guys, is it, or do you fight a lot? See, my children, I'm an only child, basically. My brother's 10 years younger than me, so I don't have the sibling fight thing. And I've noticed now they're now physically fighting each other, and I don't know what to do. Because my first thought is, violence bad, stop fighting. And my wife is like, they got to sort that shit out.
You got to make some rules.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my mom always made rules where, like, if I hit my brother in the balls, I automatically lose and get massively punished.
So that's but not other your twin sister.
That's not my twin sister, but I didn't really physically fight my twin sister too much.
Okay. Mentally, it was more, you did.
I guess so. I mean, when we shared a room, yeah, but we weren't too bad.
Okay.
I don't think. I mean, yeah, we would fight. But,
all right.
But then we chose to live with each other for 6 years. And then we had a massive fight because she's literally so afraid of vomit that, like, she's
wait, hold
crazy.
On. Go back.
Did you live in Brooklyn?
Hoboken.
Hoboken, okay.
She's afraid of vomit, so she can't go to New Orleans at all.
No. She can't do a lot of things, but she's terrified of vomit, and I got...
Actual like vomit or vomiting?
All of it.
Hoboken's
okay. Anything.
Not the place for you.
Yeah. Anything. I know. I know it's not. I would literally count the piles I would step over on my way yeah. home on Friday night.
That shit's like 13th grade. That's crazy out there.
That's exactly what I call it.
Dude, it's crazy, but I don't know. Our biggest fight, I think, ever... was when I took a zinc pill because I thought I might be getting sick on an empty stomach and I just immediately threw up.
Bad move.
And I texted her and was like, LOL, I just took a zinc pill and immediately vomited. And I thought, because like that's not contagious. You can't like catch that.
No.
I thought she wouldn't be mad. She came home and started sniffing the walls of the bathroom to make sure I even Lysoled the light switch. And when she did not smell Lysol on the light switch, she flipped out and screamed at me full volume for 30 minutes. And that's when we decided she has a real problem.
She going to therapy? For
that seems excessive.
No, but she's gotten a little bit better.
I know.
Since that incident, she's gotten a little
better.
Is
she OCD or something?
No, she's totally normal.
No, this
normal.
Is the thing. I know,
just a vomit
I know
thing.
Someone else like this who huh. just like can't like
just can't deal with
yeah,
vomit.
Yeah, and I was, huh. I we were on tour once and she was with us and we were, there was a girl in the van and she was like, I need to pull over. And this girl was like, I can't. Be around this.
That happened like, this weekend, and she took it like a champ. She was fine.
Really?
So
she was a little rude to the girl that was sick, in my opinion.
Same situation.
Slightly,
here.
But just slightly. She did hold her head. She held her head when after.
Well, that
sounds
like
so
a
this
she's
situation.
Fine.
Yeah.
She's fine.
You know why? Because she's getting married, and if she intends on having children, she's gonna have to get over that vomit thing
she
real
told me
fucking
she would,
quick.
She told me that she would just have her husband handle it. And I'm like, you're gonna look at your kid who's crying.
What about the
sick,
other end? Is she okay with the other end? Like,
she doesn't care about that. Literally, it's just this one thing.
Yeah,
like,
that's,
so,
I think that I yeah, think that's exclusive. A thing people have. I've heard of this before.
But I think those kind of people are afraid of vomiting themselves, which is where it stems from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know.
I don't know how that
your
happens.
Your sister needs to be sponsored by Zofran.
I had a question. Could you explain Candy Heart's Best Ex? Is this a totally, this is, they're both like you're the songwriter, but that's totally different people? Or how would you explain that to people that maybe aren't familiar with?
Well, it's the same people touring with me when they can do it.
Okay.
I just don't want to put pressure on other people and miss out on opportunities because they can't do it. And I'm in a position with my work where I can just bring it wherever, so it doesn't really matter. I'm really bad at answering questions about myself.
No, it's fine.
But yeah, I mean, I'm the main songwriter. Like, I'm the songwriter for both. I always was, which is why I kind of would always go off on trolls who were like, oh, this person's not in the band anymore. I'm interested to see how the writing's going to change. I would literally, like, want to flip my laptop. but I don't know. I just wanted to go in a different direction. And I feel like there were so many things that happened in Candy Hearts that just, like, emotionally were, like, bad for me. Like, and it wasn't just so much me. I think I was letting a lot of things really get me down because it actually is really hard to be a girl in a band in that scene. And it's like really, it's actually really, really bad. Like, it is terrible. It completely sucks on like so many different levels. And I wanted to try to start something where I could be like fresh and like not thinking about all of the litany of things that have like annoyed me or happened that were kind of crappy on every tour. And, you know, a lot of stuff happened really fast for us. And I don't think I was so much ready for all of those things. And it was just like, I was just so afraid that someone was going to take away everything that happened that I literally just couldn't do anything for like our band, like myself. I was just listening to all of these people. I mean, like, whatever you say, whatever you say, like I had literally no thoughts of my own. So I wanted to do something that was more like how we started our band, more like being able to listen to my voice, where when I heard the name of my band, I didn't just feel so anxious that I didn't want to leave my room for like 3 days. Like, it was so bad that when someone would call me from like my team, I would like shake so much that I would have to like leave the room and like it would ruin my entire day. And I would like call them back and they'd be like, oh no, I was just bored at Starbucks. It would be like literally nothing. It was like insane.
What was it? What are these things that like you're saying, like the scene? Do you think it's the a scene thing, or do you think it's women in music in general? Because like, what's an example of something that was like?
Well, I've literally never been on a tour until, well, the last one. I didn't have any issues like that, but I was headlining, so it doesn't count. There was maybe like one or two tours that I've been on where this wasn't an issue, but there's always been some problem because I'm a girl. Whether it's someone sending me pictures I don't want in one of the bands, there's always someone in every band, like pretty much. And just stuff like that, just constant. We're like, even on a level where it's like not bad, but like people, I feel like I'm very shy and I can't be like bros with the people I'm touring with the same way that the guys in my band are. Like, they form these real strong friendships. That there's just like this wall where like I can't connect with people on this level because I'm just not the same as them. Like, it's really difficult to have like normal friendship relationships with people, because a lot of times people either they want to like bang you, which I'm not saying I'm like hot shit or anything, but I'm also the only girl there. And there have been times where guys have told me other guys on the tour have claimed me and no one's allowed to talk to me. And I'm like, what? You can't claim me. None of you are allowed like near me now. Like, there's just always something like that where I can't really make the same kind of connection.
See, this is interesting because Brad here was in the Goops, and the Goops is a band and with a female lead singer. And
you can check them out on the Mallrats soundtrack.
Yeah, on the Mallrats soundtrack.
No, but this is really interesting because she was a tough girl and she was very comfortable around men, but. I saw it where there is a dividing line, and there is and it's very interesting for me to hear this from you, because
yeah, it's really lonely.
There were times, yeah, and like, you know, and she and I were very close. We're like we had almost like a brother sister relationship, but also like I wanted to have fun on the road and bro down and like. And it was what you're saying is like, yeah, I witnessed.
Yeah,
it.
Like I can bro down or whatever.
But
like,
no, there's and it's hard to, like, for the most part, everybody that we toured with and our band was, everyone was very inclusive.
Brad calls Tim Armstrong Lint, by the way. That's where he goes.
There were times when she didn't want to be included. You know what I mean? When she just needed space. And
oh yeah, that's everyone.
Yeah,
it doesn't bother me about those times, but there are just things like I think now like. Any band I want to tour with that I have before, if I could really call one of them up and be like, hey, you're my dude. Can you like do me a favor and put me on your tour? I can't do that kind of stuff. And also it's because I'm really shy and can't ask for anything. But, you know, I just feel like it's really difficult for me to make the same kind of connection as like, you know, all the boys hanging out.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I was trying to do some research for today. And if you Google your band... Are you like, there's so much kind of like controversial stuff comes up. I mean,
yeah.
Is that like, was that distracting from being, because I feel like it's like exhausting enough being on tour and doing that stuff. Was like all that other stuff, was that just like mind numbing to deal with?
Yeah. I mean, I got to be honest, it made me not want to go on tour we hadn't really toured as a full band for 2 years because I just was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, it feels... You know, it feels like no one like truly has your back. It feels really hard to go out on the road and, you know, my bandmates are there for me. Like, they always are. They're, like, my best friends, and they are, like, my brothers. But, like, I don't know. It just feels like I'm by myself a lot of the time. And when you're in, like, the middle of the country and, like, anything's happening, like, you know, when you're on tour, just, sure. like, bad or good things happen. It just feels like, I don't know, that you're kind of alone. Like, someone in someone's band will, like, grab your ass, and you're like, well, I can't. Can I tell them? Like, no. Should I? I'm not sure. Like, it's just, there's always some sort of an issue.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. Not sorry. That, like, it emotionally scars me because some, like, idiot grabs my butt.
No, but you shouldn't have to deal with that.
But it's just, like, it makes a divide.
Right.
Well, I mean, there's a pretty large difference between feeling, like, emotionally separated from a group and some dude grabbing your ass. Like, that's an actual, like, physical assault of your body. Yes. That shouldn't be tolerated, and you should feel free to say something about.
Well, last time I said something, it didn't go so well for me.
Right.
As you read online.
Right.
What'd you read online, Jonah?
Well, I've heard too from that whole thing that people I've worked with say that I'm too much of a liability and that I've ruined their reputation, and I no longer work with people who have said that, but it's just always in my mind, like, now I'm this person who already feels isolated and has been told that I'm a liability just because I exist in a space with another person who decides to do something.
What does that mean? Like, you're a liability? Like, what happened? Like, you
because she's not playing along with the
fucking
bullshit.
Yeah, because I'm not playing along with it. Not like a liability where someone's going to get arrested or something crazy like that. But, like, that I'm just, like, a problem. That I'm, like, you know, people see me as a problem and they don't want to deal with it. But that's just how I personally feel. That might not be accurate. I don't know. I'm, like, very sensitive.
No, but that's, you know, there's, it's like, and he just said it, like, that's assault. You know what I mean? Like, as Brad, I can tell you.
I mean, I think.
Raising girls, you're like, consent's a big deal. You know what I mean? It's like, as a parent, like, tickling a kid, they say stop, you fucking stop. You know what I mean? It's like something you try to imbue from a young age. And then, you know, you're a grown woman here, and I'm like, God damn, she's making me madder and madder here, and you're talking about this shit, you know? Benny, can you get me a registration thing for the gun, too?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, it's on. You know, I saw Lisa Brownlee last night.
Yeah.
Who is, and I know she was, like, was involved in all that stuff, too. She's like, a really good person to have around.
Yeah, she seemed really nice.
Yeah.
She just came on the show. But, you know, I mean, it's difficult to read online that all, like, I don't know. To just read all these horrible things online about yourself, and then you're like, well, wait, like, who actually is my friend? Like, who's actually believes me or whatever? And it's just like,
the thing that I think is always weird too is like, when,
but let me clarify, that was like the final straw of like so many things that happened over the last like 5 years of touring, that when I just kind of said something small on my Tumblr, just to be like, can you guys just stop with like doing stuff like this? Didn't even name anyone. Like, that was like, what led up to that was just like so many years of being like, well, this happened. It's just like, I don't know if other girls, if that happens to other girls, maybe they're not like, I'm kind of passive. I don't know.
Was it a specific band? You don't have to rehash it, but it was someone you got kicked off the tour?
Oh, no, because I told them not to. I was like, don't kick them off the tour. I don't want anything to happen. I just
stay away from
want
me.
You to, well, yeah, I don't want to get into like the details of it because it's like petty, but like,
it's not petty. It's well, happened. I don't know. It
meant
getting
something. Into the details of like the private conversations I have with like Lisa Brownlee and stuff. Mm-hmm. But sure. I didn't want to get anyone in trouble or do anything to anyone's career. They had to be aware because I was being threatened. Where like, I was being threatened in a way where they were like, people were trying to get me kicked off the tour.
Yikes.
So I was like, that's the only reason I said something.
But yeah, I think it's weird when people like, because I've had this happen too, and like strangers are like talking shit. I was like, if you're my friend, like you can talk shit about me. But I was like, if you never even met me before, it's weird. It's like a weird phenomenon.
People talk so much trash in the music scene that it blows my mind. I will see people literally licking someone's butt. Well, not literally. I guess figuratively licking someone's butt and then turn around and say the nastiest stuff to them. And I just can't be like that. That's just, it's horrible.
Do you think it's like, do you think it's just the music industry or do you think like...
Yes, I do.
You do?
I can't. This is why I've been so bummed. I've been really bummed the last like weekend because I was hanging out with my sister and her friends who have normal jobs and stuff. And I was telling them about a lot of things that have happened where I'm like, oh, but it's not a big deal. They're like, what? Someone did that? Someone said that? It is a huge deal. Like, we would never let that happen.
Well, a normal job, you like get reported to HR and then you get
fired.
Yeah,
but even like hanging out with... Even like with their friends or how they deal with relationships and stuff, there are just so many things where I'm like, but it's normal. It's, you know, everyone does that. And they're like, no one, literally no one does that. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
See, I always assume every industry is like that once you get into it. And I just only know music, but maybe you're right. And I just,
I thought that too. But
touring bands are unique. I do feel that. When you get to the top, every industry is the same, in which the people on the top need to keep their money coming in and things are just based on money. Their interest in you is not because they love you. Maybe or not they love their music. It's because they can see a way to make money off you. And that is in any industry. But on a personal level, there are very few industries where you and your coworkers we'll sit in a van together for 9 months on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's different. And that creates types of things that would never present themselves in another environment. You would never be that familiar with someone at the water cooler, and they would never call you something terrible because there's never that level of, like, yeah, you know.
But in my experience, it was the opposite. There was a unity to touring that, like...
I think within your band, there's a unity, but yeah. I think band to band...
Really?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, there might be a unity. There is, I guess. But some people just love, like...
to talk shit.
To talk trash. Just, right. Like, if they see someone being successful, they just talk trash.
What tours are we talking about? Like, a tour that you were headlining, or was this, like, Warped Tour or something?
Well, I've done a lot of tours.
Like, when you say people on the tour were talking
like
trash...
Like, the incident he's talking about was Warped Tour, which...
So there was a lot
if
of...
If Kevin
bands.
Is listening, please let me on this year. I would really like
Kevin
to play.
Listen
that's
to all
different
this.
Than if you're on yeah. tour
this is Kevin's
like
favorite
one or
podcast.
Two
bands. Yeah. What's up, Kev?
Sorry, I didn't call you back, Kevin. I'll get to it later.
But
well, that's a different story. Okay, that's because that's like
no,
yeah,
but no, in general,
shitty.
No,
that's
the talking
city.
Trash in general, like I think it's even worse on like
on a small tour.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Oh, okay.
I think it's pretty bad.
Yeah, I'm the same as you. I haven't had the same experience. But again, we're not women either, you know?
Right.
I don't gossip like that. Well, I hear all the gossip though. That's my thing, is I like to know what everything is, so I get in all the conversations.
You
and I'm like,
you pay attention to here's your problem.
All right, this is all self-destructive.
First of all, all this online shit. You have to ignore
this now. Yeah. Okay. So you seem to feed the beast a little, then react to the beast.
Oh, I'm just like, what are you talking about? It sounds like you're talking trash. What are you talking about?
You need
I don't
to stop
contribute.
Snooping.
Don't poke the bear.
There's definitely trash out there.
It's like that joke John Oliver said. It's like Nazis are like cats. If you keep feeding them, they're going to hang around.
That was a good quote. I heard that.
Do you miss living in Brooklyn at all?
Hoboken.
You never lived in Brooklyn?
No, I was just there all the time.
Gotcha. Because
all my friends lived there.
I think maybe because we had talked about the sweatshop.
Yeah, well, that's where we rehearse.
Okay.
Hoboken's in New Jersey. Joe.
Yeah, I'm familiar with
I parked
with
my car there.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with Maxwell's.
Yeah.
There's nothing out there,
RIP,
right?
I guess.
Wait, there used to be a lot of Italian
not for music.
People.
Yeah.
And now it's a lot of college.
I am Italian, really? And I was once in college.
Both.
I know.
Did you get into some a little fresh mozzarella in Hoboken?
Oh, man. Our last music video shoot, my cousin filmed the video, and he brought fresh mozzarella to the video shoot. I'm like, what did she... He's like, yeah, I got the mutz, Matt. I got the mutz.
I don't know if I've ever had fresh mozzarella. Whoa. Jonah just said, I don't think I've ever had fresh mozzarella.
You've
been
they
living
don't serve
in Brooklyn
past,
for
they,
how long? This is
they
offensive
don't serve it past
8
p.m.
Jesus Christ, man.
I ate a lot of pizza.
Oh, my God. I'm a Jew from New Jersey. This offends you. God and damn.
Let's do it, man.
You're all pickle bars, right?
Yeah.
You're all big sandwiches.
You have to go out there before 8 p.m., though.
That's true.
I'll take you to Fiore's, but don't get scared. You have to talk to people from New Jersey.
I
need
like,
a real salt of the earth jersey.
I like
they don't have any wraps there.
Wait, so what's a salt of the earth jersey in?
Guys who work at Fiore's Deli are like the real deal.
Yeah.
Like those dudes to me are like... open a dictionary, New Jersey, guys who work at Fiore's, like pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much encompasses it, I think. Yeah. It's like Tony Soprano if he didn't kill people and just made sandwiches. That guy's awesome, you know?
It's like my favorite. Does the place you have a sandwich named after you?
No. I'm sorry. I don't know what I would have to do to get a sandwich named after me there. Some damage. I have a sandwich named after me in New Brunswick.
Grease truck?
Well, luckily for me, in order to get a grease truck sandwich named after yourself, you're supposed to eat three in a row, which I'm not capable of. So luckily for me, I worked at a pizza place and they adopted a grease truck menu and I was able to invent my own sandwich.
And tell us about it.
Sandwich? It's still on the menu. It's called the Fat Veggie Benny. It's at Paulie's Pizza on Easton Ave. And it, I hope they didn't change the recipe on me because then I'll look like a fool. But it's eggplant, portobello mushroom,
nice,
potatoes, mozzarella sticks, and ranch dressing. Honestly,
how does fried ranch fit in and not? Why'd you opt for ranch and not like marinara?
Because I was trying to be different. Really, marinara is like the go to sauce for a grease truck sandwich. And I thought with the potatoes, with the sticks, and then, you know, there might be a little weirdness with like...
Well, I don't know if you know this with the sticks. They're served with marinara sauce.
With marinara sauce. I've heard this.
Always.
I've heard this.
I've literally never been served them with ranch.
No, you would never. Yeah, I think I was just trying to be different. And I was in a pretty big, like, fat boy ranch dressing phase. I've had a couple of those.
It sounds like you gave this a lot of thought.
I had that phase, too. I think being on tour gave me that phase where I would just put ranch on everything and even pizza. And I was just like...
Ranch with pizza crust?
I was just like sitting at like a fast food place dipping everything in ranch. Yeah. And I'm just like, who am I? And then so I stopped.
It's because you're eating pizza crust outside New Jersey and it's flavorless and doughy and ridiculous.
My experience is that once
there
you
are
leave
horrific
the-
pizzas outside what? Of New Horrible. Jersey. Like, not, actually horrific. Not even just like bad. Pizzas. Like terrifying. Like, there should be like a Netflix... Yeah. Be horror movie about
exactly
how horrible pizzas
that you
are.
Can ruin pizza.
Like, let me tell you something, Indiana. If you need dipping sauce for your pizza, that pizza fucking sucks. All right, this is not how it works.
If you can't pick it up because it literally just falls apart like it's a liquid, it's a bad pizza.
Have you toured Europe? Out the Indiana pizza over there.
I haven't toured. Jesus. I haven't toured Europe. I just did the UK and Ireland.
Okay.
And pizzas, I mean, I don't know. What do you expect from the UK?
Yeah, well, nothing.
It's better than Ohio, culinary. Let me tell you. The worst pizza ever.
Whoa, easy.
Whoa. Wow. Shot fired.
Jonas. Our guitarist is from Ohio, so I can kind of say that, but the worst pizza I've ever had has been from there.
Do you know where you remember where you went? I was telling these guys.
No, I was horrified.
I had to go to this chain there. It's called Hungry Howie's. And
you're going to sit here on the mic and talk to a bunch of people from out here? And talk about fucking Hungry Howie's.
Yeah.
It's great. It's real.
Flavored. How do you feel about flavored crust? They had like 12 flavors.
God. What?
Oh, pizza flavored crust.
Oh, flavored
crust. Pizza? You talking about pizza?
Oh my God.
And starting at 5 o'clock, the pizza was the price of the time you called in. So it always got like, not at 5.
More expensive?
It was a large pizza with any kind of crust you wanted in one topping.
But by the time you got to like 10 or 12, things don't even stay open then. So no, probably didn't get past 6 o'clock.
Maybe 10. But I would not want to, never want to call it 5. I'd be like, that's just tag. I'd call it like 5:04. I'd be like, I guess like another
would you
penny.
Walk in with like 4 pennies?
I'm not
like,
too desperate. Not
yeah,
too
I would
are you kidding
in,
me?
No, I'm not kidding. I lived in Cleveland. I was didn't have a lot of money and I would just like order pizzas at like 5:03 every day. But they had some so amazing. Many flavors of crust.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, like,
I
don't, what
you're telling me like I should
about?
Know what that well, is.
What's a
I
flavor?
That's not a traditional Italian thing.
What flavored crust?
Yeah.
What do you got, like cinnamon sugar? Like, what's happening?
It'd be like
rosemary?
It'd be like what? I can't like
yeah, parmesan.
Be like garlic or like
Subway bread.
Like spicy.
Like herb.
Yeah.
Parmesan.
Yeah,
like it probably was Subway bread that they put sauce on.
It actually may have been. I gotta say, it was not good. It was not the best pizza.
What? He can do that? Oh, you're not Italian. Somebody call him out.
Steven, you're not Italian?
Like somewhere. I'm from New Jersey. Of course, I'm partially Italian in some way.
Benny only calls you out for the Jewish.
Brad does.
Oh, Italian.
Brad does the most offensive Jewish impression.
It's pretty bad.
He lives in the Lower East Side. Of course he knows it.
He's like, oh, do you have a couple shekels for my locks?
Shekels?
Somebody find the fucking podcast of me ever doing this.
It's just
you don't
rude
do
that
it
you're
on
wearing
the podcast doesn't mean you don't do it.
Brad, it's just rude that you're wearing payas right now.
Oh my god.
You know what you sound like? You sound like the turtle from Rocco's Modern Life.
Oh, I don't know this character.
The turtle, the best character.
I don't know Rocco's Modern Life. Am I too old?
I don't know.
I know.
It's coming
old.
Back. Rocco's coming back, though.
Really?
I'm not that young. I'm no spring chicken, so I have no idea.
It's Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Right?
Nickelodeon.
I love Nickelodeon.
So where'd the name Best Ex come from?
All right.
And I just have to say it now before I forget.
Back
I think
on track.
You need to go on tour with the XX and XX.
They should take me.
Fair enough. Good.
I would never say no to an XX tour. Yeah. I've never personally listened to them, but I have heard... They're massively popular. I'll go. Sure. If you would like me to go.
Also from New Jersey.
X-Models, there you go. Oh, wait. And then wasn't that some famous punk band, X?
Also from New Jersey.
Yeah. Best name in the world.
Yeah.
So the name, I really liked the idea of the name because I said it when I was like, now I said I don't talk trash, but I was talking trash. Okay. And was like,
listen, you're in a safe place. Let's get it.
I was talking trash about
the onion.
One of my ex-boyfriends or... I said something, and
can
I was
have
like,
his name?
"No, no, you definitely can't."
Does it rhyme with? Go on.
And I said something along the lines of, "Not that I'm like a crazy person who hates all of their exes, because there's a problem." I'm like, "So and so is cool. He's like the best ex," and I'm like, "It's kind of a good name."
Yeah, and then
I was like thinking, I really like the idea of being like the best thing that someone like didn't want. Like something like really awesome that people were just like, screw that.
Best reject.
Yeah. I like that idea.
Yeah.
I feel that way a lot of the time.
You're the best reject?
I mean, I feel like, you know, out of all the things that are not that great, I'm like on the higher list of things that aren't wonderful.
That's a great name.
It is a good name.
It's better than higher on the list of things that aren't wonderful. Be a good album name.
It is so hard to think of a band name too. It's like because everything's taken.
Well, Candy Hearts was dreadful, and I never wanted it to happen. It was like a random thing, and I'm like, oh, just so I could put my songs on MySpace. And I never thought that it would be like a legitimate, real thing that I was like contractually bound to and could not get rid of.
Funny how that works out.
Yeah, I was like 19, just naming stuff in my room. I was like, well, can I? That's okay. That's fine. I'll put that as a band name.
What's your relationship with the Gaslight Anthem name? How do you feel about it?
It's fine. The one thing I don't like about the name that I'd always recommend is it's a name you have to say twice to somebody who doesn't know it.
Are you in the Gaslight Anthem?
Yes.
So you know Kenny?
I do.
And Kenny toured with us?
Yes.
I love Kenny.
I do. I know a lot of people you know. I'm just not getting into it on a podcast.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm just mad props to Kenny.
Yo.
Yeah.
Good people. But no one, none of you guys know him. He's fine. He's a good guy. He's very handsome.
He is very handsome.
And thinks he's a little bit more handsome maybe than he is.
That's my favorite thing about him because I would always make him feel a lot less handsome than he was. My favorite thing was cutting him down.
Yeah, you can't take him down. Small peg.
But
beautiful
I only
man,
try to take down people who are all the way up here. I'm not going to take someone down who's like
No. He can afford the peg.
Yeah, he can afford the
pay. He's got extra pay.
So he was good.
It's true.
Yeah. He was good to pick on. He was a good one to have around.
Kenny, I know Kenny's going to listen to this too.
Probably.
Yeah. You think I'm talking shit, Kenny? Hey, give me a call, homie. I got you.
He'll probably text me like, yo, bro, I listened to that thing you said.
I was wondering, like just talking to you through the course of this conversation, like, and I've seen the fact that, like, a lot of people have been through Candy Hearts as far as the band is concerned. Like, what do you see in the end? Because I've heard kind of both things in the conversation where it's like, I sort of like to be, like, the person. I want to get credit for the songs. I want to get credit for the songwriting. and like these people tour when they can and this and that. So like in the end, do you really see yourself as like a band person or like a solo person?
I think Candy Hearts was like, I tried so, so hard to make it look like a real band because I thought that like a real band where everyone wrote everything and did everything together. And I tried so hard to make it look that way because I thought people would listen to it more than just like a girl singer songwriter. And I think that did a disservice to me, not because I need credit for everything, because obviously for all those years, I didn't get like the most credit, though. I definitely got a lot more than the other guys, which I felt bad about. But I think that it's just difficult to keep people in line with not necessarily your vision, but just like being there when you don't make any money. Mm. So like, okay. So like, you know, being on my own is just easier because I can just try and find people who will do it with me rather than have to rely on people who might not really want to, especially because it's not like, well, this sucks and I don't like being on these small tours where we play to like, I don't know. I mean, I would never cry about playing to only 100 people, but you know, there are people who are like, we're just playing to like 50 or 100 people and they're not down with that. And they can't even say, well, at least I'm getting paid enough to do this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really difficult. I don't really know how other bands keep everybody exactly the same in it. And, you know, I have always offered like to share the writing, to be like, you want to write a song, but no one has. So if people want to, I'm definitely way open to it. It's just hasn't been the case.
Right. You get that Guided by Voices route where it was always, you know, Bob Pollard, but you know, he had certain lineups that fit that band.
Yeah,
but a lot of times he had different
people. Saying that, you know, this person left our band or this person isn't in it anymore and we have this new person was like really hurting us because, you know, we'd be with someone for a year and then they'd be like, okay, I'm going to get married, or okay, I'm pursuing this other career, or I got a real job, I can't do it anymore. And it would never be anything where like, I literally hate you and you're so annoying and you're a diva or anything like that. But that's the only thing people interpreted it as. Like, so to just be like, okay, we're a band, it's the four of us, and give everyone the equal credit, when one of them leaves, it always looks bad for me. So now I just don't give the other people as much credit.
Well, that's,
which feels terrible, but
that's one of the most annoying things I think about this. Like, the maybe this is an internet thing, but I've noticed this in the last few years where it's like whenever someone leaves a band, like it'll be like, this was a band for a year that no one's ever heard of, and they're like, the bass player is leaving, here's his statement. It's like, dude, it's like four pages long. It's
I
like,
think the dude from my band that you talked to, who is literally was my best friend for like,
yeah, I met even, a like member of your years. Band the other night at a show.
Yeah. I think he was mad that I wouldn't allow him to release a statement.
I wouldn't let
anything that he posted or whatever, like I wouldn't acknowledge the fact that he was gone whatsoever at all. And he ended up going on a podcast to talk about how he was gone because I was just like, nope.
Yeah, people just, I mean, like, yeah, you just see these things are so long and you're like, I get it if like Lars was leaving Metallica or something.
Yeah.
Like,
Jonah, you might have a new career in that, writing people's exit statements.
At this point, I would I have to write anything, so I would do that. But yeah, it's like, yeah, you know, I felt like going back to school and like blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
That's always what it is. It's like, always like so and so is on a different life path. Yeah. He got a dog and now he can't do this tour because it's like, still potty
just
training.
Just say it on the band anymore. Like, they'll get someone else. Like, life goes on.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I think you tapped into like one of the larger modern like social media things, which is every single person is their own little fucking celebrity now.
Right.
You know, that's like, exactly like, what I was just going to say. Yeah. And that
and
is the one thing I hate in the
world. Little world that you contain your image in and you contain this in. And to you, the presentation of what happened to this little world is paramount now.
Right, right.
And everything outside of this little world is whatever it is, you don't even care. But it's so necessary to like, everyone's like controlling their own fucking brand,
right?
You know, and this
I think
is like,
what it is
like
people just
management.
Think they're awesome and they're like, I need to explain why I'm leaving this band because like it's like the biggest deal ever, like things won't be the same for the band without me there, and most of the times that's not the case.
Yeah. No, it's a sad thing that if it seems like if you don't post it online these days, it didn't happen.
Well, that's true.
It has no relevance.
They don't want to fade into the ether.
It's
and I mean, sad. It's also nice as a musician to feel like you have a part of something you're in. You yeah. know, so if they're leaving with the idea that they had nothing to do with the music and that them leaving and being replaced is going to change nothing, that's kind of a shitty feeling to have, too, as a person who plays music.
That would be horrible.
Yeah.
But things could be said in like a sense or two. What you're talking about are like yeah, the long, yeah, yeah. like there was no personal differences. We don't hate each other. We're all still best friends. Right. It's like, come on. Like, you probably said some nasty stuff to each other like a week ago about it, and now you're over it. But
yeah.
It's like not warranting that giant post.
Oh my God.
Jonah,
some of those
what,
things.
Like, at what point? So what are the parameters? Like, how big do you have to be, or how long did you have to be a part of it?
I'm saying Rolling Stone.
To release statement. That's big.
Like,
I'm saying...
Yeah, I think you have to be pretty much the biggest band
in
the world.
If you're only in it for a year, I don't think it counts that much. Realistically, how many tours did you go on?
Yeah. Let's just say Rolling Stones, it means you have to marry a teenager.
If you never toured and only played local shows, that's my favorite time, when people release giant statements.
Yeah. So let's set some parameters here.
Okay.
What, full album cycle? 2 years?
2 years minimum.
With touring.
With touring.
On the album and toward the album.
Yes.
At least. You're not on the album, the statement is really like, that's even more like.
No.
Okay.
No, who are you?
Do you have writer's share?
I think it depends like how, like let's say you're like the brothers in Paramore.
Right.
So like something like that, like, yeah, you're like, I don't know how their publishing is broken down, but like, you're a big band, two people. People are going to, I feel,
that's a juicy story.
That's a terrible example.
That's a bad example.
That's a terrible example.
Let me try a different one.
I'd even read that statement.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me say this. If it makes you think, oh, this person's leaving, I wonder why. Then that warrants a statement.
Right.
But don't you always just feel that way?
No.
Like, if I just see something on Facebook, I'm like, someone's leaving a band? What band is that? I wonder why.
Well, then maybe.
And I don't even know what the band is, and I'm like, oh, but I want to know why.
Then
but
maybe.
Like, what if it's, you know, like, say, like, Janet Jackson is touring, and she's had the same touring guitar player for 30 years, but we don't know nor care because we're just listening to Janet Jackson. This person decides to bail. Do you care?
No.
Same person she's had for like 20 years.
If I was his family, I guess I would. But
right.
Otherwise,
you know what I mean?
No.
But like, that's kind of the point. Those are the odd parameters. If it's like, you know, that's her band.
We just hang out with the dude who played the lick for Black Cat.
Yeah.
By Janet Jackson.
That's true.
Really?
That's true.
I didn't know that.
Pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is really
cool. I couldn't stick my nose up his ass that long.
No, I get it. I get it.
You get a lot of that.
Samara, what else? What do you have going on? What's next for you? What's happening?
I'm trying to open for someone, if you're listening to this.
Okay, you're soliciting.
Holler at me. I'm soliciting.
That's fine.
Soliciting people to take me on tour. I am really, really trying really hard to set up some shows in the UK. I took a poll yesterday, and people seem to want us there more than they do here. But they just saw us here, so I don't think they're really that much in need. But I'm trying to do that. I've been working on new music also. So I'm just trying to get out there. I just hope someone gives me a chance to put like my new band on their stuff so people can actually like hear of us.
Yeah. Cause it's crazy. I forgot about this, but the first time I saw you was when I was working on the APMAs and you did that duet with Weezer.
Yeah.
Which was, I didn't realize that was you until like years later, but that was so crazy.
That was like so crazy. There's like literally no other word for that except like just. What?
Yeah, Weezer played, and then what? It was like a newer song, right?
Yeah, it was the one that Bethany from Best Coast, she wrote it with him, and I got to sing her part, which is really great because I love her, and she's fantastic.
So hit Rivers up, man.
Yeah.
At Rivers, do it.
He still follows me on Twitter.
Boom,
but does he
is.
Read Twitter? I bet she has me muted by now.
Yeah, no,
he's like, what is this?
You got a DM.
He follows me. And
I'm not going to slide into Rivers' DM.
Dude, I've done
Why?
It. I've done
oh,
it.
I already snubbed him for
Fuck
a hug
the
on
shyness.
TV.
Dude, no,
I've DM'd him. He follows me. I've DM'd him a bunch of times. He's always written back.
Oh my God, I can't do that. I'm not that kind of person.
I'll do
you
it
have
for
to
you.
Be.
I'll, do it for me. Be like,
you're
hey,
not gonna get
do you remember
shows
that girl who did it?
Yeah,
I know, exactly. That's like the larger
no
issue.
Shame
issue.
Doesn't exist.
Dude, I'll DM him.
Hit him up and be like, remember that girl who didn't give you a hug and then gave it to you later, but nobody knows she did. So you look like you got snubbed on TV.
Take her on tour.
Yeah.
Take it from me. Having Jonah speak as your surrogate in this matter is way creepier than hitting him up.
All my other...
Especially Jonah will do it very awkwardly.
All my other DMs are like, yo, I'm at this bathhouse with these girls. You want to come hang out?
John and I were out one time, and we had a couple, and he went, we should call Pinfield. I'm like, we should. And you went, Matt, do you still like rock and roll? Come meet us at this show. And I was like, that's what you wrote?
I think that's great.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
Yeah. I think that's perfect.
Yeah, he did
so
not
do that. Ask
maybe
you
should
still
be my
likes
advocate.
Rock and roll.
Ask that's him if it. He still likes, maybe not rock and roll, because that's a bad segue to my music, but maybe do you still like synths?
Synths, yeah.
Okay.
That could...
But yeah, I cannot possibly ever ask the singer in one of my favorite bands to take me on tour. I would never do that.
Just be like, yeah, I was just listening back. That song, Hash Pipe's pretty sweet. No?
Just be like passive aggressive and be like, you know, I just did this podcast with these guys and they all said that you should take me on tour.
Yeah, isn't that a weird idea? Wouldn't that
be
so weird?
Well, here's the thing. When people hit me up like that, I always ignore them, which is like, I don't want to be a nasty person who ignores people, but I do. And it's usually on Facebook Messenger or like a DM like, hey, can your band go on tour and co-headline with my band? And I'm like, who are you? So
but
I don't want to be that person
but
to
you
someone
got a time
else.
Travel, man. You got to time travel and look at it as the interview in Rolling Stone, if it's still a thing in the future, that's like, wow, I couldn't believe it. All I did was like, I had to get the courage to DM Rivers Cuomo and boom, there I am
that
at the
happened
Oscars.
To me with Newfound Glory, only I didn't take it as a real thing because Chad had messaged me. The reason we started working, he messaged me asking to hear demos because he wanted to work with us. And then I never sent them because I didn't want to bother him. And the only reason that we ever worked with him was because he found out we were touring with Man Overboard, which were his friends. And he messaged me like, I'm really hurt. You're touring with my friends. You don't even tell me. You didn't send me demos. Like, why? I'm like, oh, you were serious. You weren't just being nice. Okay. But like,
this
that's
is a deeper issue.
Yeah.
Really.
At this point, I'm starting to learn.
This is a very deep issue.
None of this has anything to do with any of those people, Mario.
I mean, someone contacts you with a request, you can really safely feel the need to fulfill it. Good.
But sometimes
when someone
I'm
says,
like,
please bother me, you can bother
me. But sometimes people are like, maybe I'm just super mean.
Why
and
do
that's
you think
what it
he
is.
He has the time to you even know, write an empty request you, like
because
that,
when someone
you know?
Talks to me, and they're like talking about their band and they're like sound like they really want me to listen to it. And I'm like, oh yeah, send me a link. I'd love to hear your demos. I don't mean that ever.
Then you should
like literally never.
You,
yeah.
And then
you've never dated someone in the back of your mind been like, I think this is just like a prank.
Oh, like, for sure.
That's how I felt. I was like, this is not real.
Like, she's getting all these, like, intimate secrets, and she's like, oh, you won't believe when
I'm
the dumb things
I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Yeah. I still think it's like a high school prank. Like, I'm going to wind up in a...
You have two kids.
Yeah, in a pool of something terrible one morning, just alone, and I'm
kids.
Like, are you fucking kidding me? Good one. And I went deep.
That's a long play.
Wow.
Yeah. A long play.
That's a long con, but that's a good commitment.
Yeah, that is...
You're like, I have to really marry you now. That was a good
birth two of my kids to play this out.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
Real quick shout out here to our big patrons who've gotten us started off with Patreon. Mark Lazar, Mark Peralta, thanks so much. Thanks Steve, Shannon, Andrew, Carolyn, Robert, TJ. You guys have really helped kickstart our Patreon account. We're going to be hitting you guys off soon with all the special content, some swag. Anybody else who's interested, go to patreon.com/goingofftrack, or you can get there via our website, goingofftrack.com.
All right. Thank you to Meryl for coming by. Definitely check out Best X. Ice Cream Antisocial, out now. It is available on Spotify, so you have no excuse not to listen to it.
Yeah, it's easy to remember. It's a great name.
Yes.
Both the album title and the band name, I think.
Yeah.
I like Best X.
Yeah, and it is, like, we have talked about this before. It is not, it is not easy to come up with a band name.
Right.
I actually met one of her exes and told her, and she was like, oh yeah. And then I was like, was he your best ex? And she did not. I think she thought it was maybe kind of funny. I thought it was super funny.
Of course she did.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah. Anyways.
If you need to record a podcast, come here to Pulse Music on West 29th Street.
Yeah.
Why did I almost forget that?
Because we're at your house. It sounds like we should be there. We were there for the podcast. Yeah. We're not there now. Yes. Pulse Music, West 29th Street. Beautiful studio. Beautiful people. Beautiful gear.
It's and great. If you're looking for another podcast, listen to Emil and Jonas' podcast.
Oh, yeah. Check out my other podcast. I'm Feral Audio. Drifter Sympathy with Emil Amos from Omen Grails. That is new episodes dropping. We kind of do it every other. We do one week, and then the next week, Emil does one that's just music. And he, like, finds all this obscure music he likes and kind of, like, that relate. Emil knows a lot about a lot of different kinds of music I'm not familiar with. So it's actually very cool to listen to.
Wait, he plays?
Yeah, it's just basically like a playlist.
He DJs it?
Yeah.
Can he get away with that?
Yeah. It's the internet, man.
Okay, I'm not going to comment.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Brad. Sorry, I didn't realize Brad was a narc. Do you need to search me?
Well, you're the one that brought it up, man. If anybody's...
Emil plays music on our podcast. I don't care who knows it. You like it. He plays cool music. You should listen to it.
I love Emil.
Yeah. And if you're in a band and you don't want... If you're in an obscure like prog rock band from the 70s and you don't want people playing your music so people can hear it... okay. Like, that seems like that shouldn't be
your biggest... Well, I'm a little jealous because this is something that I've kind of wanted to do for those same reasons. Like, unreleased vinyl and stuff.
So you think that's illegal? I mean, how do you get away with playing
music on
the... I guess
it's a podcast. He's not selling it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I actually don't really know either. I never really thought about it. I know we've had... People sometimes will be like, hey, so-and-so's coming to town. Do you want them to play a song on... Like, we've had people play songs a couple times on the podcast.
But we've cleared it, too. We've usually asked permission.
Yeah. But also, usually, I'm like... I just don't think this is that kind of a podcast.
Okay. Well, I'm going to listen to it.
Yeah, listen to it. For real. Check it out.
Because I love the idea.
Yeah, it's cool.
All right. So if you like this podcast, give us some money at Venmo.
Yes, Venmo at Off Track. You can also donate via PayPal or goingofftrack.com. You can leave us a sweet review via iTunes, or you can just go up to Brad at the grocery store and be like...
And buy my groceries.
Yeah, be like... Hey, Brad, you're buying some kale and a stick of butter? That's on me. Thanks for all the hours of laughs. Has that happened to you? Has anyone bought your groceries yet?
No, that's hilarious, though.
Going after track fans. Yeah. If you're in the Lower East Side, the real Lower East Side, and you see Brad buying groceries, pick up some...
Fine Fair.
Fine Fair, yeah. Maybe just hang out at Fine Fair, and Brad will come in eventually. How often do you go grocery shopping?
I don't really do the grocery shopping.
Yeah.
But I stop in at Fine Fair. I get my beer there. They're trying to it's such a, you know, it's sort of a ghetto supermarket still, but they're obviously trying to cater to the influx of, you know, the hipper people that are moving to the neighborhood. So they like really up their beer selection.
Really?
And usually when they get like organics and stuff, they way overcharge for this shit. But like with the beer, they got like all these good beers that I like, you know, and they didn't, and it's like less than it usually is.
What are some beers you're into lately?
I drink a lot of 6 Points.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite beers. And I like Dale's Pale Ale. That's kind of
Yeah, that stuff is good.
It's my lighter beer. I like cans. I buy cans a lot because I just like the idea of cans.
Yeah. I like cans too.
But, yeah, that's, I mean, my classic kind of go-to would be like, you know, when you can't, like a Lagunitas or something, IPA or, yeah, I like IPAs.
I do this thing with cans where I'm always like, whoever has a tall boys, that's what I'll get. Like, I'm like, what has the most beer in it?
That's good, man.
Yeah.
Quantity over quality.
Sometimes. There's some stuff I can't, like PBR I just won't do anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, there's certain stuff where I'm like, my body just rejects it. But like, I could do like a Tecate or something. Like,
I had a PBR one time that my body seriously rejected. And yeah. I will tell that story Not here because it's long and it's really good. I'll tell it on one of our bonus episodes that we're going to probably try to do to make available to our big donors.
Yes, we are going to have some bonus episodes with stories like that. So you're going to want to break out your credit card and throw it down.
And open a beer.
And open a beer with it. Or something. Anyways.
Let's wrap it up here.
Yeah. Wow. Things really got off track, but I guess that's sort of the point. But yeah, so you can do all that stuff to support the podcast. Thank you to everyone who supported us so far. Thank you for Meryl for coming by. Check out Best X, Ice Cream Antisocial on Spotify. And we'll be back with another podcast next week.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.